This is the Top Agents Playbook podcast, episode number 10. Hey, I've hit double figures.
Welcome to the Top Agents Playbook podcast, your source for the very best tools, tips, and ideas used by real estate's top performers. Now, here's your host, Ray Wood.
Well, hi everyone, and welcome back to the show. I've just had a fabulous weekend up at the Chalet, which is about 2 hours north of here, north of Toronto. Saturday was the most beautiful day of the year so far. It was also the day we took delivery of a 10-foot pool table that belonged to my wife's late father. Christine and her dad spent a lot of time playing pool, and she has lovely memories of the table, which she almost lost at one point when her ex actually sold it on her. In fact, I've made a little video about the table and its long journey to the Chalet this weekend. You'll find the video in the show notes for this show, which is topagentsplaybook.com/10. And last week, I officially got a sponsor, and just in time for my 10th episode. Locked On, the real estate software company I'm involved with, is on board as a sponsor. And to celebrate, the guys have given me the green light to offer you a very sweet deal. You get $50 off your monthly payment, which is a discount of almost 35%. Plus, you get $400 off your joining fee. But I'll go one better. If you're ready to experience real estate's best software, I'll set you up with a call from Luke Newton, who's something of a real estate software guru, to help you fast-track your setup, import your contact list if required, and generally let you hit the ground running with a minimum of fuss. To get the deal, go to the show notes for this interview or click the resources tab at topagentsplaybook.com. Okay, I recorded this interview with Garth Mikulski late last week. Garth's a director at Harcourts, the property people in Campbelltown, New South Wales. This is a company that'll do about $4.5 to $5 million in real estate to commission this calendar year. Garth not only manages a team of 35, he sells 200 homes a year or 200 properties a year. Whenever I speak with Garth, I always come away feeling like I could take on the world and win. His personal energy is clearly evident in this episode, and I'm pretty sure your time with Garth will have the same effect on you. At Recharge last year, Garth shared his highly popular 10 tasks list. He explains each one brilliantly during our interview. This is a stunningly simple success template that will make you rich if you follow it. I also have Garth's permission to offer you the 10 tasks, and you'll find them in the show notes at topagentsplaybook.com/10. Well, hi, everybody, and welcome back. I'm with Garth Mikulski from Harcourts, the property people in Campbelltown, New South Wales. G'day, Garth.
G'day, Ray. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, buddy, thank you for your time. Tell me a little bit about you're managing a team of 35. You're the sales manager and director of the company. You're selling over 200 properties a year. Mate, where do you find the time?
Yeah, well, it's not easy because we are very busy, and there's always, you know, it's like being a big steam engine. Those arms keep going around and the business keeps coming in and we keep churning it out, and you've just got to be on the ride. And I think, Ray, just do the best you can. There's lots of areas in our business and team where we can improve, and we're always working on that. But we try not to get distracted by the many areas where we can improve. There's always 500 for us, but we try to focus in on, well, what are the five we can do this week or this month that we will commit to and everybody will, and we just do the best we can. We're lucky. You're here in the industry at the moment. The buzzword the last couple of years has been becoming an attraction agent.
Yes.
Or an attraction agency. You know, all of that probably started with The Secret, the Law of Attraction.
That's right.
And, you know, what it is you think about most of the time is what it is that you'll probably become eventually. And, you know, when you start doing good business in real estate, whether you're a salesperson or as a company or a team, you start doing lots of good business, what happens is that everybody's focused and committed on just doing the simple things that keep the business going out and coming in, you attract more good business with it. And you start to grow. And as you start to grow, you start to attract different projects, bigger projects, different market shares. You start attracting better salespeople, to your business because they want to be aligned with a successful company, and you just grow. And it's like a big snowball going down a hill, I reckon. You can't control it. It's very hard to control growth. You've just got to run with it. And sometimes you do get out of control and you think to yourself, you know, what do I do about this? How do I control it? And I think the only real answer to it is understand where it is you're trying to get to and why you're trying to get there. Try to have a time frame on how much time you have to achieve that destiny that you're trying to reach to.
Yes.
And then find decent people around you that, number one, understand the vision, two, would like to be part of that journey, and three, will buy into it and take some responsibility for it and help you to achieve it. Because without decent people around you, you know, you just can't get there. So I'm very lucky. In our company, we've got some really great leadership people in key parts of the business that you know, we would not be where we are today if they were not on the team and if they didn't contribute at the higher level that they contribute at.
But I wouldn't disagree for 1 minute, but you're a big part of the energy that drives the team.
Yep.
And, I mean, when you spoke at Recharge last July in Sydney, as I mentioned, we had so much amazing feedback from your address. I mean, you emceed the day as well, and it was amazing, and thank you. But one of the things that you spoke about that I've had a lot of feedback on and that people, I think, really tapped into is the danger and damage that distraction does. And
yep.
Nowadays, with social media, mobile devices, the internet, gadgets for this, gadgets for that, pay TV, etc., there's so many distractions going on. What's your advice for somebody? How do we control this? I'm not really sure the best way to ask this question, but it was just something that really caught my attention when you said that, because I find myself in that situation and you just get you go down a path and 10 minutes later you think, what on earth am I doing? I didn't even mean to be here.
Yeah, and we all do it. I still do it every day. You get confused and there is too much distraction around us. So if we just look at it as being a salesperson for a minute, salespeople naturally are very, you know, they're very reactive. They're not very proactive. So they're always reacting to what's happening that minute, that hour, the next day, and trying to survive and trying to do really well at their jobs. But because they're very reactive, they tend to be looking everywhere else for the next thing that's going to help them to get a listing or a lead. And there's no silver bullet in our business. It just doesn't exist. The only thing a salesperson can do to be successful is have a great attitude, train hard, upskill, believe that they're the best, and then deliver that to the market and be really consistent in building relationships with people. Because it's probably the biggest lesson that I was ever taught was by a guy called Doug Maloof. And Doug, yes. He said to me, he said, Garth, he said, listen, mate, he says, never get confused by the business. The business will confuse you because everybody's trying to roll the next greatest thing out or this training system or this new promotional plan. But he said, you can never replace a human being in a relationship.
True.
You can replace the marketing system, but you can't change the people in it. So if the people in it are in it for the reasons of building relationships, he used to say, he who dies with the most contacts wins.
Yeah.
So yeah. The person that can build the most relationships and then actually stay in contact with them over a long period of time wins, really. Yeah. It's that simple.
Yeah, yeah. How do you help your people stay focused? Because you're managing a massive team and, okay, not everybody's going to be a rock star and you've probably got the range of, yep. of you know, the elite to the up-and-comers, et cetera. How do you, firstly, so I guess 2 points to that question. How do you help them stay focused and what emphasis do you have internally on training?
Okay, so first of all is the people on my team are in the business because they love the business.
Right.
They can be the most talented real estate salesperson out there, but if their heart is not in what it is we do for people and families every day, they don't get a job with me.
Right.
So as a result of that, And I consider myself, with the agents I work with, a great team of B and C graders.
Right.
We're probably not superstars, but we've got a team of highly passionate people that love the industry, love the business, and love helping the clients that we get to help. And as a result of having that type of an attitude, probably lifts us up to a level where we connect at an A-grade level. And I think for me, it's you know, we hear people say skills overrated, and it really is. It doesn't matter whether you're playing sport or you're in business. It's how passionate and committed and disciplined you're prepared to be and what price you're prepared to pay to get there eventually. Some people get there in a year or two. I was a slow learner, Ray. It took me a decade to figure this business out. I was useless for the first 5 years. I was just very average. And being a slow learner meant that I had to learn the hard way. But I figured it out eventually. And because I love the business and I love connecting with people, I eventually got taught the right way to do it and how to win. And winning's about just being consistent. Winning's about having a good attitude. Winning's about, you know, delivering the service of being a sales consultant at the highest level, being a great communicator, giving great feedback. Being real with vendors about where they're at and what they need to do to achieve their goals and not being plastic and trying to make it look like something that it isn't.
Yeah.
So it look, I think for an agent out there today, if they can just learn to communicate and connect with people, they're the first two ingredients they've got to have. They need some likability about themselves and, yes, they need to train. The internet today, Ray, I remember when I started training and I didn't have really much money then, even after 9-10 years of real estate. I was, you know, I was making commission, but generally it was just that was going out to feed the lifestyle and expenses that I had and really didn't allocate a lot of my money towards training. So when I realised I needed to get better and I started having to invest money out of the commissions I was earning, I actually did that. I wrote out a little program and I said, right, this year I'm going to go to, at that time, the Australasian Real Estate Agents Conference. There was $1,000 for that and accommodation on top. And then I'd go to some external Real Estate Institute training. I'd also go and listen to some various speakers that were on the circuit at that time. But I would make it a discipline to go and do that, even if I thought I knew the information and that I didn't need it. I made myself go and do it as a discipline of refreshing and relearning and recharging, you know, on a consistent basis. So I think for every consultant out there, you'll find that a lot of consultants you bump into, they go, oh, look, I really like the office, and my boss is great, but they don't do much training.
I hear that a lot.
Yeah, but here's the reality of training. As everybody has, I reckon, a lifespan as a trainer, there's so much content to deliver so many different ways, and then you've got to hit rewind and sometimes reinvent yourself as a trainer and try to re-deliver that same message a slightly different way to keep it current and fresh. So a lot of principals out there are saying the same things that they were saying 10 or 15 years ago, and sometimes salespeople don't understand that it is the same message, but often that responsibility of finding the reconnection to the message and refreshing it, it doesn't have to be the principal's responsibility.
No.
It's often the salesperson's responsibility to take that learning away that they're giving them and not look at it through small eyes, actually open up and go, well, you know what, there's merit in this message, and if I just jump online and Google that topic and listen to some other speakers around the world, I understand why they're telling me I need to do this. Because, you know, most principals that are engaged deliver some sort of training in-house, and they're very in touch with their own businesses. They know where their businesses are failing usually, and they know where their salespeople are letting them down as a team. And if the consultants will just listen to those principles and then connect with the message and then look a little broader around that, they can find the answers. I mean, you know, I wish I was a young agent today, Ray, and that I didn't start in 91, 92. I would have loved to have been starting now with resources from coaches like yourself and all the other coaches out there that have everything online where you can literally sit in your lounge room every night for 25 minutes and watch some podcasts or listen to some training, and you can do a university degree in a year.
Yeah.
you know, in real estate. I just it just blows me away how good the resources are out there for young salespeople, whether they're older starting in real estate or young people starting in real estate. When I say young, I mean new to real estate, new to the industry.
Yep.
And but it's interesting, Ray, like, and you're the best guy to answer this, but you train people all over the world, but how many of those sales consultants that you actually sit down in front of and talk to and they nod their head actually go home at night and jump on this thing called the internet and start learning and listening as a result of their own accountability?
Yeah, sure. Boy, I don't know the stats on that, but it's like it's like recharge. I talk about, you know, if will 10 or 20% of the room take action on some of those things and the rest don't? The old 80-20 rule, I don't know. Maybe that's what goes on. And you know, I wake up every morning, Garth, trying to come up with ideas to inspire people to go out there and do what Doug Maloof was probably saying 30 years ago had to be done. I mean, even it's a different world now, but the things that matter and the things that count haven't changed, and it's pretty much exactly the same.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? And so I think it's for me, it was always, I found as a consultant when I was getting better and better at my role and improving my numbers each year, I used to get very sidelined and distracted by all the different messages you get in the marketplace. Do this. How about you do that? This is the latest thing here. And it would sideline me, even from my own performance a lot of the time, because you were in a state of confusion. Well, what should I do? Do I actually do that or do I do this? And I remember going and seeing a guy called Rick DeLuca.
Yep.
And he spoke at a conference here in Australia, and he talked about doing 21s, which was this concept that, you know, you, if there's a house for sale in a street, you do 10 either side of the listing, which is the 20, and then you letterbox drop the one in the middle, which is the one that's just you know, coming on the market for sale.
Yeah.
And he said at the end of the conference, he delivered this talk about 21s, and a consultant came up to him and said, look, I've been thinking about doing something similar to this for a long time, but I can't figure out whether I should do 35s, 49s or 22s. He said, what's the right number? And Rick said, that's the whole problem in our business, is we overanalyze instead of just getting up off our backsides and just having a go. Whether you do 5s, 10s, 15s, 19s, 27 and a halves, it doesn't matter. Just go and do something that's different to what you did yesterday and then try to repeat it daily and change your habits.
Yeah.
And that for me was a bit of a defining message, because I was a good example of procrastinating over lots of great ideas but not actually doing any of them.
Yeah, not pulling the trigger.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. I thought, God, you know, how much time have I wasted? So then I thought, right, I need to simplify what I do. And it was around that time, funny enough, I've been catching up with Aaron Shiner.
Yep.
And we've been sharing ideas and writing trails together. At that time, we were both using a system called Complete Data, and we just thought if we get together and start writing all these trails together, you know, both of us, our businesses are going to benefit together. And I remember Aaron talking about having, you know, like a little running scorecard on your daily results, and I thought that's a great idea. You know, it's something that we can do. And then around the same time, I joined up with this business called Send Out Cards.
Yes.
Which I recommend every agent on the planet should go and check it out. It's just the best.
Yeah.
And I had this thing called the Daily Seven Ray. And it was all about just doing seven simple things every day within that Send Out Card business to service your customers, whether you're selling pharmaceuticals, real estate, cars, cows, elephants, whatever you do, you use this system to send out cards, personalized cards. And I thought, that's it. I need to come up with and simplify my work each day to have a daily 5 or 8 or 15. And in the end, I settled on my daily 10.
Yes.
Which gave me 10 disciplines that I could do each day. But the decision I made around those disciplines was prioritized around the things that I needed to do every day that I often didn't do because I had excuses, like everybody else, not to do them. But they were, in fact, the things that would make me the most successful if I stuck to them for a week or a month or a year. So when I simplified it and got down this list to my daily 10, I just did that every day. Every month, there were some days and some months where I didn't hit my targets, and there were times where I would slip off, and I had to have an honesty session and realise that, you know, I was only kidding myself. I wasn't really on track, and I needed to get back on. But that daily 10 gave me an accountability session that at the end of every day and week, I could really see whether I was being honest with myself and doing what I had to be doing, or whether I'd slipped off, or whether I'd exceeded my own expectations and done way better. And it was a really good measuring stick. So for me, it was really simple. I'm happy to go through it with you, Ray, if you want to.
I'd love to. I'm sure everybody listening would love to hear. And I'm going to also post this, with your permission, Garth, in the show notes, so people don't have to write everything down. But, if you can reel them off, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, no worries. So, look, you know, this is what worked for me, and this is, you know, working as a sales consultant and going back some 6-7 years ago as well. But the things that I knew I needed to do every day were these. You know, number one, communicating with vendors. When, as an agent that was carrying a lot of stock and doing a lot of turnover and volume, meant that one area of my business that I wasn't that good at was probably my vendor communications. So I tended to be very reactive. You know, I'd get to the vendors when I needed to. They could wait until we had the message to deliver, and I needed to change that. So making myself every day submit a minimum of one feedback price indicator to a vendor was very important. So I might have been carrying, say, 20 listings at the time, and it would mean over and I would work 6 to 7 days a week. It would mean that 6 to 7 times a week, I was calling one random vendor out of that group of 20 and just calling up and saying, "G'day, Ray, it's Garth, how are you today?" You know, and we'd get into some dialogue, and I'd say, "Look, I just want to call you up. Aaron showed the home last night, and I gave him a call this morning just to get some feedback and make sure that we're on top of it, Ray. And people have shown some preliminary interest in the home. I did ask Aaron whether he had the opportunity to explore price with them, and they've come back to me and with a number. However, it's probably at the disappointing end of where you and I really want it to be. But nonetheless, I think it's important that, you know, we communicate on a regular basis and discuss price and what people are thinking. And then I'd deliver the price to the vendor, Ray. And I would find sometimes it was exactly that. It might have been a lower indicator. Sometimes clients would have come in, or the agents that had shown it would come back and go, "Garth, it was a great inspection, and they're really supporting the price range that we're trying to achieve for that vendor." And I go, "Ray, I've got some great news, mate. You're going to be really pleased to hear this. We don't have an offer. However, they're considering the home, certainly within 10 or 20 of the range where we'd like to be achieving at the point of sale." And, you know, it just gave me a reason to always explore why people loved a home. If they loved it, how much would they pay for it? And then if they didn't love it, was it price related, and why, and where did they see it positioning themselves in the market? Because we would often, as agents, we'd be typing up our feedback and we go, "Oh, Ray, the clients really loved your home, thought the backyard was fantastic, still have a few more to look at, and they're going out on the weekend, we'll keep you posted." So then you get this email with 15 of the same sort of feedback and you go, "Oh, everybody loves my home."
Yeah.
But then 2 weeks later, when none of them have come back to you, start thinking, "Well, is my agent doing their job, and how come they said they loved it? Why haven't they made an offer?" So there's always a reason why they don't buy a home. So digging that little bit deeper, getting those price indicators and getting to the reason why people wouldn't buy, and then documenting it, reporting it to vendors, was very important. So by doing just 6 or 7 extra calls a week and making it a discipline where I did just one extra one a day to a vendor, which might take 10 minutes, a really great thing for me to be doing. The second thing was I'd call a second vendor every day of the week and I would book a physical market review meeting.
That's a belly-to-belly, face-to-face meeting, obviously, if they're
100%. Yep. And in the office, where possible.
Righto.
And, you know, different agents have different thoughts. And for those of you that are listening to this that would say, "Well, I would never make vendors come to my office," that's fine. Whatever works for you works. But the point is, are you doing it? That's the point.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, in time management, I didn't have the time to go to every lounge room. So getting them to make an appointment, come to the office, was great, because for 10 or 15 minutes, they weren't in their comfort zone, they were in mine.
Yep.
And I could go through and address all the issues of the marketing plan that were working, weren't working, what we needed to do, make some recommendations, just like your GP doctor would if you went in to see them.
Yes.
And then let them go home and give them something to think about. And I, one of the things I learned during this process, Ray, and it comes back to behavioural modelling of different people and the way they like to communicate, is I found that the majority of people I was actually working for, when I actually gave them time to think about the pain that I was going through as their agent, and I actually stopped being the wicketkeeper or the goalkeeper, and I delivered that message of what we're hearing honestly from the beginning of it to the point when we did get a real offer and we could negotiate something, I found that the vendors were very understanding and very willing to work with me at that point.
Yes.
And because when you give people time to think about the decision that they know they want to make eventually, they will make a better decision and they won't be as stressed out about it. And you avoid a lot of this conflict of being the agent, which would go in with a baseball bat and just start swinging it around the kitchen table, because you knew if you didn't get the deal together that day, the buyer would be out tomorrow and buy off an agent that had done their job properly the last month been delivering this message and could put the deal together faster than you could because you hadn't. So that helped me a lot. So making sure that 6 to 7 days a week, there was a different vendor getting a call that day saying, "Hey, Ray, it's Garth. Mate, just want to make an appointment to catch up with you guys later this week, on the weekend, early next week, just at the office for a quick 10, 15-minute debrief on how we're tracking. I'll buy you a coffee. When will you both be available to pop in and see me?"
Perfect.
And that's how I'd tackle it. And they get used to it. You know, after a couple, yeah. I go, "Hey, it's time we met again. It's been a couple of more weeks, Ray. We need to keep this thing on track, mate, and I'm committed to selling your home. Can we get together again?" And, you know, and it meant that in those really difficult ones where it would take 6 or 7 of these, they knew what was going to happen when they came down. But if they were serious about selling, they were also very accepting of they were going to receive some pain when they come in. They knew that, but they knew I was doing it for the right reasons, not the wrong reasons.
Yeah, yeah.
So here we are. If just in a week, there's a out of that catalogue of say 20 properties, there's 14 that I've already communicated with a price indicator or a meeting's booked in.
Right.
Then I would speak to another 2 vendors every day. So I would make 2 other vendor calls random. I did these on the way to work in the car. So I'd just pick up the phone and say, "G'day, Ray, it's Garth. Mate, no reason to call you. Just want to ring you up and say, g'day, how are you today?"
Yep.
"You know, what are the kids doing? Da, 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 da. You know, it's buddy, we've got a flat out week." And sometimes I'd just sit there and talk about things that I've got on, or if I knew they had an event on, I'd just be talking to them. So it wasn't real estate specific. So that meant that out of that group of 20, there were another 10 to 14 calls happening that week to those vendors that were mobile-based, not in office, in car. And that gave me the ability to be really quick in and out, say, "Hey, Ray, look, I'm just pulling up at my appointment. I've got to go. Listen, go and have a great day. Sail out of the gang, and I'll talk to you over the next 2 or 3 days. See you later."
Perfect. Okay.
Right? Yep. And you know, I was never pulling up at an appointment, but it just gives you that ability to get on the phone, off the phone, on the phone, off the phone, and be a churn house, a machine.
Yep.
So there were another 2 vendors there. I would make sure that I followed up every day 2 unsigned market appraisals.
This is number 4.
Yep. That's correct.
Yep.
And so I used to carry around with me a paper list. Some will laugh at this, but I still do it now, a list of my hot prospects.
Yep.
And these were only future sellers. So, yep, we had our complete data and our database, which is just like Locked On or many of the other programs where people are using trails and letters and automation. I had all of that, but I'm a bit of a simple guy. I like having it in front of me on a bit of paper. So I used to every day have this little Excel Word document where I had sellers in the next 4 to 6 weeks, sellers within the next 120 days. Sellers within the next 200 days. Sellers at 1 year. Sellers at 2 years. And it was catalogued up with about 10 little tick boxes next to it. And I'd print it off every morning. And some days it was two pages. Sometimes it was 10 pages long. And I would just go and park my car after an appointment at a park. It's called Hurley Oval in Campbelltown, with a beautiful outlook over the district, and I liked it there. I'd often go there and have my lunch and just sit in the car between appointments, and I'd make these calls. But I'd just start ringing through unsigned appraisals. I had a minimum of two a day. Sometimes I'd do 10 or 15 calls in an hour.
Wow.
I'd just punch it out as hard as I could. Then I would also do in that same day back in the office, I had a session that I used to call my database mining session.
Right.
And I would call through then my database clients in sequence. So we've always catalogued our databases as, you know, bullseye clients, which are our top referring customers.
Right.
Our pot of golds, our silvers, our bronze memberships and so on and so forth. So I would make sure that every 45 days I would contact my top referring customers with a face-to-face meeting, not a phone call. It was a face-to-face. Now, you know, I didn't have 50 of these people. I had a fairly small number of very, very loyal referring customers. Some of them I'd never sold for, funny enough.
Yeah, that happens. I hear that a lot, and that happened to me as well. Some of your best people, you didn't actually ever sell their property, but they gave you a heap of referrals.
Yeah, and so we ended up, I'd sit there and I'd make sure every day I called two pot of gold customers. Now, pot of gold were people that had sold with me and had been a listing where I'd sold for them.
Right.
And they've moved on, or they might have moved on to another area, or they might have stayed in the community. I never removed them from my pot of gold if they moved out of the area, because they're still very connected within the community anyway. And they'd have family, friends, other people that you never know they could maybe recommend me to. So I'd just call two of those. I made sure every day I called two of my buyers, people that have bought off me but not yet sold with me. So that meant every week that there was another 10 or 12 of those calls going out every week. And I'd make sure that each day I spoke, I made an effort to connect with a bullseye and then book that 45-day appointment with them.
Gotcha.
Then I do random office-based telemarketing for 90 minutes. Now, that was a marathon for me. I struggled doing 90 minutes. It blows me away when I hear of these agents that just sit there for a whole day and just do cold calling. But they're legends.
I would have to like handcuff myself to a desk to do that, seriously.
Yeah, I'd go crazy. But 90 minutes for me would usually happen over a period of probably 2 or 3 hours.
Right.
Where I could, you know, I've got an attention span of a 2-year-old. And so for, you know, 5 calls for me, I've got to get up, stretch my legs, walk around and then come back and do it again in 5 minutes' time. But I found that if I did 90 minutes a day, that I was actually bringing in a lot of business.
And so these are cold calls or these are warm calls?
These were cold prospecting calls.
Righto.
So I had a BDA, a business development area.
Yep.
And I had catalogued the residents, and I had phone numbers for some of them and not phone numbers for others. And I would just database mine through them and connect with people and try and reconnect and get in front of them and attract market appraisals.
Can you tell me what you say when you make those calls? Just give me a quick role play.
Well, it depended who they were, Ray, because
okay.
You've got to remember that in my BDA, a lot of them, the connection of phone number didn't happen until I door knocked them.
Okay.
Because when I would build the database, say you take a suburb and you go, okay, well, in the white pages we have here, which is the public phone book,
yes,
there might be 1,000 homes in your BDA and there's only 180 listed phone numbers.
Okay.
And then so you start off and you go, well, this is going to be hard. And then you go into RP data or property monitors and start pulling out all the phone numbers and merging them back in. And then you've got all the do not call registers. So you might wind up with a list of 280 phone numbers of people you've never, ever spoken to before. Now, I was most effective on my feet. So I would like to go out and be mobile and door knock. And meet the people first. And so I would always go out with a success piece or a just listed or just sold or a marketplace report, what's happening in their area.
Yep.
And I'd simply door knock and say, oh, g'day, you must be Ray Wood. My name's Garth. I work with Harcourt's The Property People. Look, just a quick introduction. I wanted to meet you. I'm the area specialist for our company, and you're going to see a lot of me over the next 2 or 3 years, working my way around meeting all the residents. Do you have a couple of minutes now? Would you mind having a quick chat to me? You know, how long have you lived in Roos? And that's how I'd start these conversations. And you might, and I always made sure when I went up there, I stuck to that script and I made sure I smiled and I made sure I looked a little vulnerable so people felt sorry for me.
Right. Because I love it.
Because I knew that if they saw that there was a person really trying to have a crack at building a relationship, that I was a chance that they'd talk to me. And if they did talk to me, then at the end of that, I could say, look, Ray, you know, thanks so much for being open with me today and sparing some time. You know, I do a lot of this. A lot of people are not like you. Thanks so much. I'm really grateful. Look, would you mind if I, now that we've met, if I could keep you up to date on a quarterly basis with the sales and listings and what's happening in your backyard and stay in contact. Would that be okay with you? Who's going to say no to that?
Yeah.
No one. So then when you said yes, I said, well, look, probably the most efficient way to do it, Ray, is, but why don't, if you've got an email, I can just, you know, so I'm not badgering you on the phone all the time, how about I just email you? Would that be easier? Or would you prefer me to do it in hard copy and just hand deliver it?
Yep.
So then I get that and I say, look, just out of courtesy, would it be okay if I had your mobile contact number to stay in contact on an annual basis? Yeah, no worries, mate. Here it is. Bang, done. Another one. Lovely. So then it meant that when I did my telemarketing, I could then say, right, it's been 90 days. G'day, Ray, it's Garth. You might remember we met 3 months ago at your door. Thanks again for being, you know, so open to meeting me and talking to me. It's been a great 3 months in real estate. If you've got a couple of minutes now, I just wanted to give you an update.
Perfect. Wow. When you started, and that was number six, I think. We'll get on to number seven in 1 sec because I want to ask a question. Was that when things started to turn around for you, Garth? Was that part of the turnaround, that solid prospecting? Because with nobody to talk to, you've got nothing. You've got no opportunity to make appraisals or give opinions or anything.
No, you don't. And most of the salespeople around me would always blame the office.
Right.
The best producer in there at the time was, you know, well, they get all the stock and they get looked after. And you know, I just realised, you know, and I'd been doing a lot of online training around with a guy, Jim Rohn.
Yes.
Great Jim.
Yeah.
And most of the coaching I'd learned from Jim's material was all attitudinal. And it was, you know, like if you want to be noticed in life, you've actually got to get off your ass and have a crack and get the respect of the people around you that are better than you.
Yes.
Where they then feel that if they're going to give you and invest some time in you, you're worth it. You're actually worth it. And you're bringing something to the table that the others aren't. The whingers, the moaners, the excuse makers, they'll always stay the same. And it was the same time I realised that I needed to step away from that group and I needed to learn to be better at my job. And if I wanted to hang out with the winners and perhaps be a bit better looked after, well, I would be if I did the right things.
Yes.
So when I started doing this, I started getting results. And you know what happens. You start getting results and you don't need anyone to help you because you're getting so much of what you've always wanted, which are listing opportunities, that, you know, the handouts that come your way, you're always grateful for them, but you don't need them anymore. And then they all of a sudden start coming. That's getting back to that law of attraction thing.
Yes.
Again.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, so it's just amazing how it all goes around and works. So telemarketing for me was a process. You know, I see lots of sales that go, oh, I can't telemarket. I go, well, you know, it's what do you think telemarketing is? You know, like is it, you're just scared of speaking to strangers? You know, I think houses are the most wonderful thing that you could ever want to talk to someone about, but it's the way you do it. It's the way you create those introductions. So for me, I found my way, which I was comfortable with, which was a face-to-face meeting with a person, get their consent to then stay in contact with them. Sure, I was crafty in the way I did it, and I had a method and a way to get break down the barriers to then get the numbers and then catalog them and stay in touch. But there was a plan,
yeah.
And I just stuck to it. And most of the time it worked. The people that were really rude to me, you know, the ones that slammed the door and or swore at me, and I had heaps of those. I would always send them a thank you card. I'd always put them on my Christmas card list. I'd make sure they got an anniversary letter. And I'd always remind them that I was the person they told to go and jump off the cliff, you know.
Right, yeah.
And most of them.
To do with sex and travel, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. So, but I did it in a way, and most of them would come back and go, oh, you know, I'm really sorry, you got me on a bad day, and, you know,
beautiful.
Thanks so much.
Beautiful.
For, you know, you end up winning them over, yeah. And some of those people become great clients.
See, that's an interesting point that you actually, you preferred to walk and door knock and stuff like that, but that's got to have a much better ROI than getting on the phone and making a cold call, don't you think?
I think so. I mean,
because you've got so much more to offer if you're there in person.
Yeah, and it was getting back to that little lesson that Dougie taught us, which was, yeah, just get face-to-face with people.
Yeah.
Because it's a people-based business. You'll never remove the person. You can remove the system, but you can never remove the people from the relationship. And, yeah, it's hard to say no to someone face-to-face. It's very easy over the phone.
Of course it is. Yeah, of course it is. Okay.
And then number seven,
yep,
was making sure that every single day I didn't go home until I had a market appraisal booked.
Wow.
One a day, a minimum of one a day. And
right.
And through that 90 minutes of prospecting or through my database mining, two pot of golds, two silvers, one's bullseye, I would always get a market appraisal out of that every day.
Wow.
Every day. So it wasn't hard to do. I made sure I called my 10 hot buyers each day. I'd then return my daily calls. I'd then send three send-out cards as point number 10, and then I'd go home. That was it.
Now, what did you do in the afternoon?
Well,
that's a very busy day.
Yeah, it was. I worked out, I did a time chart on it. It worked out at being 4.5 hours per day of totally focused productivity.
Wow.
4.5 hours a day to do this.
Okay.
My daily 10.
Yeah.
So to pump out 4.5 hours productive work like that, I generally needed, whilst fitting in appointments, buyer appointments, appraisals, I needed around 12 hours a day to do it.
Okay.
That was to actually get 4.5 productive hours in my day to actually nail this. Took about 12 hours a day. So, you know, I was working pretty big hours. You start doing six days a week, 6.5 days a week at 12 to 14 hours. You're doing some pretty big numbers. But you know what the difference is if most real estate agents get demotivated because they're not getting opportunities. If the ones that are busy always work past 5 o'clock, 6, 7 o'clock.
Yes.
Two,
because
three
they
days
have to.
And yeah, because, but you know what? They're actually very self-satisfied because they're doing what they love to be doing. They're getting opportunities. There's none of this, you know, I've got to work back tonight. And, you know, it's just what we do. You know, like I say to people, you know, even today, I still do 70 hours a week minimum. And I go, listen, I picked the job. It didn't pick me. And to be good in my job, that's what it takes. And if I don't do that, well, I might as well just hang my gloves up and have a crack at something else.
Yeah, perfect. Perfect. Garth, was Doug your inspiration? Was he a great leader when you started out?
Yeah, he without a doubt, he was the person that had the most impact in my life as a real estate agent.
Right.
You know, I've just got an enormous amount of respect for and you know, I love the bloke. He's just the best.
Yeah.
So yeah. I always count myself very lucky that I was one of the people that had an opportunity to get close to Doug.
Yes.
And got to know Doug as a person and not just a professional. And I got to learn a lot from him that I didn't have that opportunity of learning from other people. So he kind of took me under his wing and he taught me a lot. And but in saying that, you know, the only reason I got that opportunity to really get to know Doug was that I'd won some industry awards within the franchise network we were a part of at the time, and I'd won Salesman of the Year, and I'd really buckled down and had to change my ways to actually achieve those goals. But when I achieved them, doors opened and I got contacted by Doug. He said, look, I want you to come in and talk at our superstar forum. And, you know, he used to hire out a big room and he'd get 500 people there and he'd have 40 desks and he'd have 30 or 40 speakers, all good agents from different groups around the country. And we'd all get 15 minutes to talk to a group of 15 people at the table. And that was when I first really got to know Doug. I used to go to his seminars, but he then, after doing a number of those and some workshops at his offices in Darlinghurst, he then said, look, would you mind doing some training for me for my crew down in Wollongong? I've got, you know, six offices and I need to deliver them something different. Would you do it? And I said, 100%. So from that, it went into a training contract. And then 2 years later, we bought his franchise business off him.
Wow.
And it went from one thing to the other, and we're still good mates today. And yeah, he's a great guy. But he you know, he was you know, the master of you know, relationship selling, learning how to relate to different personalities and behavioural styles, and learning how to sell to them and deliver it the way they wanted, not the way you wanted to deliver it.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, he's authored so many books on selling and things like that, that you can still get them all.
Of
but
course,
you are
yeah.
right, right. You know, the stuff that goes around today is a lot of the things are things he was delivering 20 odd years ago, rehashed in 2015 language and wrapped up in bubble wrap and out it goes.
I guess so. And but a lot of those essential things, you know, you talked about send out cards before, and anybody who doesn't know what send out cards is sending a personal message without leaving your keyboard, pretty much. So you create your own handwriting, your letters A to Z, and you can type a letter and it's packaged off and it's all done online, which is brilliant. And it sounds like you're doing a lot of that. But Garth, that's a way of leveraging technology. It's probably it's a way that you can do those things that have to be done, but leveraging technology to do it, I guess, which is just like Locked On and just like so many of these other systems out there as well.
Yeah, it is. And that's the whole point, is you can get, you know, I mean, you want to get on the scene with technology and automation and you know, our decision simply to bring a whole new version of what we're doing into our business by moving forward with Locked On was that it's, you know, I think it's the most current an advanced simplistic system for salespeople to use. And it's so much more user-friendly than what we've currently got, and it's going to make life so much easier for our agents. Makes them mobile, it's portable, and it's simple. You know, so trying to keep doing these things we're doing, which was give our agents automated letters and trails and information and simplify their lifestyles as professional real estate agents, can still continue today, but with the benefits of an automated database like Locked On just makes it even better.
Yeah.
And then when you plug on something like send out cards on the side and a few other bits and pieces, wow, you can just have the most amazing business model. You don't need to rely on a franchise for that. You know, there's great technology at your fingertips today.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's interesting the way that it works. And so many of our clients now are from the larger franchises. And I guess if the technology's there, it's crazy not to use it. Let me ask you, I'm going to let you go, but before I do, who are your heroes? Who do you look up to? Who've been the big influences in your life?
Look, straight off the bat, my dad, he's my biggest hero. You know, he's the most compassionate person I've ever met, and always, always, always has a time of day for anyone, no matter how big or small. Not a wealthy man, not a successful man in business or anything like that, but a very successful man in life, and his compassion and understanding and ability to give people his time, just remarkable, you know. So he's my biggest hero. Number two, followed by Doug Maloof, no question about that. As the guy that's probably taught me the most in real estate, in my career. Then external heroes, Jim Rohn,
yep,
was a international speaker that just connected with me on at an audio level.
Yes,
and
yes,
some people love Zig Ziglar. Yep. Could be listening to Aaron Shiner. Doesn't matter if there's someone that you just connect with. You know what? Suck the marrow out of them.
Yep.
Get every inch of what they've got, because you know what? Good people give. You know, so having Jim Rohn and all of his audio programs, and having the privilege to have been able to go and actually see him live talk before he passed away was a huge thrill. Then outside of that, two boxers for me are massive inspirations, a guy called Manny Pacquiao and Manuel Marquez.
Yes, yeah.
They're my two biggest heroes outside of business. Boxing's my favourite sport, and in a couple of weeks I get the privilege to fly to Vegas to see Manny Pacquiao fight Floyd Mayweather Jr.
Wow.
For probably the largest fight on the planet that we've ever seen. So yeah,
that's going to be crazy.
Awesome. So hopefully my little mate gets up and knocks out Floyd and takes that title.
Yeah, how exciting. How exciting. Yeah, well, enjoy your trip. I'm sure that's going to be awesome.
It'll be awesome. And then, you know, and you can't beat your family, can you? Your wife and your children.
Of course.
The people, you know, I mean, my wife and kids, ultimately, I pay the price at work to do a lot of the things I do, but often they pay the price of having a dad that's often working hard and big hours and doing these things. But, you know, I'm blessed with a beautiful family and an awesome wife and kids that are just unreal that I love being around. And they support me to do the things that I want to do in my lifetime, and I can support them to do the things that they want to do.
Yeah, magic. That's magic, mate. Well, I will let you go. I just want to say thanks. You're a huge inspiration to me and so many people that I know. Got so much great feedback from Recharge last year. I'm looking forward to hopefully catching up again with you soon. Thanks again. And I don't know, I've got nothing left to say. I've got a heap of questions, but you answered them all. But
it's on a separate note, mate. You're a terrific bloke, and all the people that are aligned with you, you're delivering first-class material, information. Your partnership with Aaron's just remarkable, and you guys are committed people to our business. You love it as much as I do, and you're about the people, and you're about helping people to get better at their job. And, mate, I'll do anything for you guys to help you in your journey. I know you do the same for me, and that's the way it goes.
Thanks, mate. It means a lot coming from you. That's awesome.
Have a top day.
Okay, buddy. Talk to you later.
See you. Bye, mate.
Okay, that's it for another week. But before I go, I just wanted to remind you about the special deal to get on board with Locked On, Real Estate's best software. And when you do that, can you please send me a message, and you can find me at topagentsplaybook.com, and let me know so I can set everything up for Luke Newton, who's one of my partners at Locked On, to connect with you and help you fast track your success with the system. And while I'm plugging stuff, the ticket window for Recharge 2015 is open. You'll find a link at topagentsplaybook.com, or just head over to recharge2015.com. We've got a great speaker lineup this year, including Stephen Bradbury, the Winter Olympic gold medalist, and I can't wait to catch up with everyone at Recharge in October. This year we're on the Gold Coast, so I'll be packing the Speedos, I think. Okay, until next time, dream big and take names.
Been listening to the Top Agents Playbook podcast. For show notes from this episode, recent podcasts, and lots more, go to topagentsplaybook.com.